first question is, you know, we all know your background as an internationally acclaimed author and speaker, and, you know, we look at the companies you've consulted with, I mean, some of the largest ones on the planet. So why take time, you know, out of your schedule to present to retail IT solution providers, you know, and other vendor executives at the RSP Inspire event? So what do you find most intriguing about the group?
I think I find it intriguing because, given your historical roots, people I think would have predicted that you would have disappeared as an industry 10 years ago. And one of the reasons for the questions that I'm asking is I think there's some core competency that you're providing that I wouldn't have thought about as an outsider. And I wonder if you all think about it as an insider, that, you know, the reason you've resisted the waves of technology changes, you know, driving you out of business, the reason that you've resisted the vendors trying to come in and, you know, market directly to your customers, the reason that you're still persisting in the world of iPads is because you're offering a quality of service and responsiveness and tailoring that's really important. And so I was just fascinated by this industry. And, you know, given that you're in the midst of going through a lot of changes and the margins have shrunk from 70% to 35%, that's a big transition. But you've succeeded, I think, very well up till now, and the question is how do you succeed going forward?
Right. If the last 50 years were great, what do the next 50 look like? And how do you yeah. manage that? Good. Okay. And then I'm also intrigued. Many RSPM members are family-owned businesses, and you famously work with your brother on some successful projects. And so from your experience, what are the keys to family members working well together?
I'm not sure we have any advice on that. We're 10 years apart in age, and so we've rediscovered each other as adults. And I think when I talk to people about, you know, people who say, oh, I couldn't work with my sibling, they're always, you know, much closer in age than Dan and I were, and so we don't know how to punch each other the buttons, I think, as well as, you know, people who grew up 3 years apart or 2 years apart. So Mom only had to do an intervention with us once, and I think I don't have as much advice to give to family members as somebody else in this position.
I'm just curious if you're willing to share. You said your mom had to do an intervention, like, into your business, and how old were you guys at the time? I mean, that's just a different dynamic.
This is our first book, and turns out we have different styles. I was always the kid who was studying ahead of time, and, you know, finals week I was just kind of, I'd go out and see a movie to relax before final exam, and then started studying, you know, the night before at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And my mom pointed out at one point we were getting stressed because I was getting further and further ahead on the outlines than he was and writing his segments, and my tension was building, and we were kind of at odds with each other. My mother pointed this out and said, now you have these two different styles, and, you know, by the way, Dan's the kind of person who would start the night before, and he would go in and ace his exam, and by the way, his grades were higher than yours, and
yeah.
So, you know, don't stress, it's going to get done. And as soon as she labeled it, it both of us kind of relaxed and said, oh, yeah, that's right. And so I think sometimes having the outside perspective of the ability to label a pattern of behavior or a difference or whatever was really useful to us.
Right. Got it. Good. Well, I'm glad Mom is there for you.
Yeah.
A few other questions. This one's a little long. So many, as we've talked about, many RSP members really have a technical background, and they get into the business because they're good at building IT solutions. And so, you know, with your books, you really have a foundational theme that employees aren't just machines, and you really have to take into account, you know, their emotions and their feelings. But there are a lot of business owners where it's company first, get the job done first, let's hit the numbers. So for folks who are like that, what initial steps do those business leaders have to take, you know, if they don't naturally incline towards understanding people's feelings? What are the first steps they have to take to eliminate that blind spot?
I think the fundamental problem that business owners run into is what behavioral economists call the curse of knowledge. It's like when you're an expert what is hard for you is to imagine somebody that doesn't have your expertise.
Yeah.
And so it just seems obvious to you. You know, if you've ever talked to a doctor or a lawyer about their field and, you know, your problem and you don't have that background, you're on the other side of this complex, you know, abstract, jargon-filled description of what's going on. And technical business owners are in the same position. And so one of the simplest things that they can do to connect with their employees is just to explain the why. You know, it's, you know, you feel like you're going back to first principles, but, you know, describe to your aunt, Sheila, you know, she's a smart person, but she doesn't know your field. Imagine describing to her the concept that you're trying to get across to your employees, mm-hmm. and you're going to be better off because you're going to be more about the why and more about connecting the dots that they don't have connected in their mind already because they don't have your technical background and your expertise, and they're going to perform better and they're going to understand more of the emotion and the reasons for doing what they're doing.
So it's funny, I just had a conversation similarly along these lines, and the person was saying, but I can't slow down to tell
yeah.
that. What's your reaction to somebody who says that?
Well, I think it's the pay now or pay later principle. It's like, you know, yeah, it's hard to slow down, but you're either going to take the time up front to do it more completely, or you're going to suffer in the long run because people are going to make mistakes because they haven't gotten the whole picture and they haven't understood the implications or the importance of what you're asking them to do. And so very often, good entrepreneurs will have somebody else in the room that is explicitly designated to play the role of slowing them down. You know, so it's a chief of staff or a, you know, vice president of marketing or, you know, a sales, chief salesperson that's, you know, is able, has been granted the authority by the entrepreneur to say, you know, if I get ahead of myself, slow me down. And I think that's a useful practice.
Yeah, I learned it the hard way where I didn't slow down for, I had been here 5 years, and again, like you said, you have that assumed knowledge of the people you work with elbow to elbow. You didn't really have to slow down because you were with each other working on it. But we had somebody come in, and I just have realized from now on, it's really an investment. Like the time you're spending then is stuff, time that you're going to save way down the road, and quite frankly, you can spend way less time with those folks eventually if they understand the guiding principles. Is that how you see it as well? Like it's really an investment. Up
That's
front.
Perfect. Yeah, exactly.
Got it. Just a couple other quick questions for you. Can you give us a quick preview of what you're going to discuss with the Inspire attendees, or is that an unfair question at this point?
No. There's one of the sessions that we're going to do is on the dynamics of change, and so we already talked about the emotion of change and the difficulty of that, and so we're going to talk about aligning all the parts of our brain, that we have an analytical side that analyzes the world and sees the need for change. And so we can say, you know, oh, I need to go on an exercise program. That's the analytical side, assessing the world. But then there's a huge emotional side to ourselves that, you know, really wants the Oreo cookie when we open up the cupboard. And so the day that we spend on change is going to be about aligning the analytical side and the emotional side to prepare people to make change more effectively. And then the other day that we're going to do is on decision making, and behavioral economics and psychology have identified all kinds of flaws and biases that we have that make our decisions less than optimal. But nobody's really proposed many solutions. And so what Dan and I did is to try to scour the literature and scour the practices of interesting organizations to find out how do we do things quickly in the context of making important decisions for our organization that are going to improve our batting average, our odds of success. And so we've got lots of routines and procedures that many of them take less than 5 minutes, but research indicates that they're going to make our decisions much more successful from the start.
Got it. Good. My last question for you, Chip, is in relation to books. So I've read Switch, and Kelly and I were at a conference, and we were thinking about you because they had a parade at the end of the conference, and somebody was actually riding an elephant at the lead of the parade. So it made us think of your book. So I'm going to add Made to Stick and Decisive to my list. If you're going to recommend to small business owners, those are a lot of the folks who are going to be at the Inspire Conference. Those are the folks who read Business Solutions Magazine. What are some additional books outside of the ones you and your brother have written that you'd recommend that they get their hands on to help them, you know, become a better business, a better leader?
I'll recommend two. One is by Robert Cialdini, Cialdini. And he's got a book called Influence.
Yes.
And it's the single best description of the kind of toolkit in psychology for persuading and influencing people. And you're constantly trying to influence and persuade your customers and your employees and your contractors. And it's just a brilliant, easy-to-read, fun book that will dramatically expand your toolkit in that situation. And then I think another one, and this is probably less relevant for your folks because they're existing, they've been in business for a while, but I think especially in a time of change, there's a book that's targeted towards first-time entrepreneurs who are starting a business from scratch that might be useful when you're contemplating changes in your business, and it's called Getting to Plan B. And one of the authors is Komisar. He has a co-author that I don't remember right now, but Komisar. And it's Randy Komisar is a Silicon Valley venture capitalist who's run a lot of startups in Silicon Valley, and they do a great job of talking about when something's not working and you need to make a change, you know, how do you think about testing your way into a different model for your business?
Interesting. Yeah, so it's Randy Komisar and John Mullins
That's it.
Is the author there. And